Hi everyone, I'm Yasmina and this is Conversations Over Coffee, a podcast where I speak to inspiring Palestinians. Today, we're in conversation with Sanavon. Born Marwan Abdelhamid, he's a 21-year-old musical artist based out of Southern California. His Palestinian roots drive his passion when making music, especially in Nirvana and Gaza, Haifa and Tesla, and his latest release, Cage Bird Sing. Hi Marwan, how are you?
I like how you said Sanavon.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my French accent in there, show it off a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good pronunciation.
How are you?
I'm amazing, alhamdulillah.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
So I want to start at the beginning. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, so I was born in Jerusalem, the holy city. I was actually born in Jerusalem because I was born during the Second Intifada. So my parents were living in Gaza at the time. And it just, you know, there weren't that many good doctors. They decided to go to Jerusalem so I could be born. It was a time of conflict. And I grew up in Gaza for 7 years. And then in 2007, during the civil war that happened between Fatah and Hamas, during the elections, we moved to Jordan. We had to move. And my mom, you know, being French Algerian, nothing to do with Palestine, she's like, fuck this, like, I'm not staying here. This is really unsafe. And my dad is Palestinian Serbian, half and half. So my grandparents come from four different parts of the world completely. And I speak French at home. That's my native tongue. I was educated in English and I learned Arabic growing up playing football at Nadi Al-Wahdat. It's called Wahdat Football Club. It's a Palestinian refugee camp team in Jordan. So that's where I learned most of my Arabic.
And you mentioned your mother is French Algerian, your father is Palestinian Serbian. So given that you're connected to various places around the world, I'm sure you struggled with your identity, as every Palestinian usually does. But can you tell us a little bit about your experience with that?
Yeah, I think every Palestinian, even, you know, mixed people, not just Palestinians, I mean, our people, it's interesting because you have Palestinians that have been living in Chile for three generations that are still connected to the land somehow. And they struggle with their identity as well because they speak Spanish, they grew up speaking Spanish, but their names are, you know, just to use my friend's name, like Firas. And they're like Chilean, but then they're also, you know, it's complicated because ethnicity, nationality, it's all very new concepts. It's like 100 years only. And I think as humans, like, we're still trying to figure it out because, you know, a lot of people say that, and this is a shout out to Childish Gambino, but, like, you know, we're generation internet. Like, a lot of people grew up on the internet, and you have people that come from Sweden that are super connected to American culture and they feel more American than they do Swedish, but they never left Sweden. So yeah, ethnicity, especially for Palestinians, is complicated because, or especially for me, because, you know, I'm genetically only 1/4 Palestinian, but I feel super, super Palestinian. And then some people will not feel Palestinian because they have privilege. And then they associate being Palestinian with being underprivileged, right? So it's like, especially like Arab Americans, they'll be like, you know, they'll go back to Palestine and they'll see the way that people are living and then they can't associate with that. But I don't think Palestine I don't think of it as a geographical entity. I think of it as kind of like an empire, a global empire of 11 million people. And when you think of it like that, you kind of understand the power that we hold collectively. And it's pretty inspiring for me.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I remember back at school, I went to school in London, and a lot of my classmates were confused as to how I could be from Palestine, even though neither I nor my parents had ever been. And despite that, I felt extremely Palestinian. You know, there was even a running joke that I'd never let you forget it. And I think that's where the power of the diaspora really lies. The fact that we have this remarkable connection to Palestine, despite the physical detachment, is something that the rest of the world finds really inspiring, and it draws them to our cause. And I want to move on to where you're at now. You're obviously a very talented musician. Do you think that that's your calling?
I don't know about personal calling, to be honest. Like, I love making music, but I do know that at some point I'm going to get involved in politics and government and education. Like, I think, low-key, I think that's my calling. My calling is to go build universities, build the nation, because making music is cool and you can kind of, you know, shift the culture. But I think that in order, okay, not to sound too like, oh, but if you were going to talk about calling, I think the calling is to create a society in Palestine where, you know, liberation is at the forefront and we are a free society and free from oppression. And to the way that I see that, you know, being 21 years old, you know, I obviously don't have the answers, but I do think that there is some sort of like institutional change that needs to happen that can't happen through music.
That's amazing. And I think a lot of Palestinians share this desire to improve our situation in the world. But sometimes we can get caught up in it. So do you ever feel like you're putting too much pressure on yourself in terms of what you want to achieve for Palestine?
No, relax. I think a lot of people struggle with meaning and, you know, finding that calling, as you said. And I think as Palestinians, we're blessed, man. Like, we have it inscribed in our DNA, at least this generation, like, you know, since 1948, we kind of have that installed in us at a very early age. And there's a lot of ways to go about it. You know, like, for example, what you're doing is super important. What people like Noura Arafat do, super important. Hamad Al-Kurd, super important. Shabajdi, Tabor, Kulishille, like, those guys are super important for the culture as well. So, yeah, what I say is, like, with Palestinians, I think being the best version of themselves, like, really, if we push ourselves to be the best version of ourselves, I think a lot of things will start to happen.
I love that. I think that's a really positive way to frame things. And so, sticking with your 20s for now then, can you tell us a little bit about where your love of music came from?
Man, so it's my dad, Rashid. Shout out, Rashid. He, when I was young, like, my earliest memories of Gaza involve music, specifically Lenny Kravitz, Wyclef Jean, Timbaland, for some reason, and Living Color, a lot of rock, and also Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was huge for me. But the earliest is Lenny Kravitz. I don't know if you know him, but he's this like rock star.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just an early man, early age. I played piano from a very young age, you know, like Russian conservatory vibes, like
right.
Stuff. And then I learned saxophone in sixth grade, and I played for a while as well. And, you know, I remember I always, when I was growing up in elementary school, like, I wanted to be Michael Jackson. Like, I did a talent show. I did the dance, I did the glove. It was crazy. Like, I was actually obsessed with that guy, which, you know, looking back at it now, especially with all the stuff that is like surfacing about him, it's kind of weird, but the music just really, I don't know, it did something. I don't know. Music for me has always, like, speaks to something greater than myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And can you tell us about your earliest memory of music from when you were a child?
Bro, it's in the car. So I grew up in, my dad and my mom built a hotel in Gaza out of mud. My dad was an architect, interior designer, and they instead of, you know, cement was very hard to come by in Gaza. So, and my dad had studied in Italy. So they built this hotel, it's called the Dira, and it's still living to this day, a mud hotel. And it's beautiful, it's red. And I grew up in that hotel. And outside, I remember, like, in the car, one of my earliest memories is, like, just in the car, Lenny Kravitz, Let Love Rule, specifically that song. I think that's the earliest one.
Okay, I love that. And continuing on that theme, what are you listening to today? What are you playing in the car?
Man, I listen to, okay, I'll be specific. I listen to a lot of Egyptian trap, like Marwan Musa, Marwan Pablo. I love those guys so much, bro. And I listen to a lot of, obviously, like, Palestinian rap, like Shabajdid and like Platinum, but also shout out like Jude Hev and Yusuf and like Nazareth and stuff. Was like fire. And I listen to a lot of French rap. Hamza, that's my main guy, love that guy. And then a lot of R&B, like, you know, like Little Sims. Well, she's not really R&B, but like that mixed with old, like new R&B mixed with old 90s R&B mixed with like rock mixed with like Gunna.
Okay, so a little bit of everything then.
Yeah.
Okay, so more generally then, what do you think about the power of music? And then turning to your own, is there something yours is trying to achieve?
That's a great question, Yasmina. I don't want to say that I'm trying to achieve anything with the music. Maybe what I am trying to achieve is building a community. And I've seen this where the songs I make speak to very specific experiences. Kind of like, you know, representation in Hollywood, for example, for Arabs, is kind of non-existent. I never had that kind of representation growing up, and I'm seeing what it's doing to people that are my age, younger, older, where they're like, oh, I've never connected with something like this. Like, I never had someone say, I miss all my friends living on the same time zone. Like,
right.
That's a problem that, you know, not a very specific set of people have. So it's cool to be able to build that community that, you know, resonates with that message and kind of grow it slowly but surely. And then I always wanted to be like a rock star, man. So
right.
That's just kind of like living out my childhood dream. I decided last year, and then I was like, you know, when you're 40 years old, 50 years old, looking back, you're going to regret not going 100% in on the music.
So I've been catching up with all your music, learning every word, but my favorite so far has to be your latest release, Cage Bird Sing.
Legend.
And you talk about mental health, especially men's mental health in the Arab world, and that can sometimes be a taboo topic. So where did that come from? What was the motivation?
Man, that's a great question. I'm glad you brought that up, because I love speaking about this. I go to therapy, and it's the best thing I've ever done for myself. You know, people ask me like, "Oh, like, are you okay? Like, are you depressed? Are you this?" And it's funny because I'm literally the happiest and the most fulfilled I've ever been in my life. And the way that I kind of explain therapy to people that, you know, don't get it because it's taboo in our region. People don't talk about it, especially in the men's space. And the way I kind of talk about it is like, bro, you don't need to be obese to go to the gym, you know?
Right.
Same way that you don't need to be like rock bottom to go to therapy. Therapy is a way to understand yourself and why you behave certain ways, and then kind of distance yourself from those thoughts and emotions. And actually, now I've named the, you know how you have a voice that speaks in your head?
Mm.
Yeah. So mine is called Ali. And bro, Ali is so annoying, right? But and he says things, self-doubt, all these things. But now I can separate myself from those thoughts and understand it's not me. And it just has helped me in every single aspect of my life. Literally, bro. It's crazy. And I recommend it to all my friends. And sometimes I think past 6 months, like, I've been a bit pushy with it, you know, because I've seen the things that it's done for me. So I really want, you know, people that I love to do it, but, you know, it's everyone is on their own timeline. I just really think that a lot of, you know, not to kind of skip over all of the historical stuff, but a lot of the misogyny in the Middle East, and specifically in our country, the Levant, it comes from insecurity.
Yeah.
On the men's behalf. Yeah, there's a lot of insecurity that could be cured with therapy mixed with, obviously, like, you know, I don't want to say therapy is the answer because there's a lot of economics, but I think that therapy is really, it should be considered when you're talking about what is the solution to these cultural problems that we have. I think a lot of it has to do with therapy and keeping things bottled in and not understanding yourself. And yeah,
it's interesting you say that, because I think that the stigma, especially around men's mental health, contributes to the failures of leadership that we so often see in the Middle East. I'm talking about this hyper-masculine, strongman approach to leadership that maybe can only be tempered when we address this crisis in men's mental health in the region. So we've spoken about all the amazing things that you've already achieved, as well as the things you hope to achieve in the future. So I'd like to come to a close with some self-reflection, I guess. So I wonder, what's something that your younger self wouldn't believe about you today?
The fact that I'm going to do a show in like Toronto and Montreal, yeah, that's crazy. I can't wait, bro. I've always wanted to perform and perform to like people that know the lyrics. Like, I don't know, I just never thought I'd be doing music like this and I would have people that actually listen and stuff.
That sounds super exciting. Do you have any details you can give us about the shows or?
No, I don't, because we're still figuring out the details and logistics. So I don't, but I know it's going to happen.
Okay, so I won't press you for any further details then, but it's great to hear how much progress you've made as an artist. And so looking at where you're at now, what title would you give this chapter of your life?
Okay, I'm not going to give you the name of the chapter, but I'm going to give you kind of like a description of where I see it. It's for sure like related to growth, like both spiritual, mental, physical, and like building, yeah? Like right now I'm building. So, and it's really, it's so, I'm so blessed, you know?
And on that note, Marwan, thank you so much for being a part of this.
Yes, Mina, thank you so much for having me on. You're a great interviewer. That was sick.
Well, it's amazing to see everything that you're doing to help shift the narratives around Palestinian identity. And we hope to hear more from you really soon.
Legend. Thank you so much.
Stay tuned to Conversations Over Coffee for more from Inspiring Palestinians.